4 children injured after a horror house blaze, Joe Biden's embarrassing fall, and it's Mark McGowan's last day as Premier. It's Friday, the 2nd of June.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy Friday.
TGIF.
Oh, my goodness. What a week.
Yeah, I think, you know, when the Premier pulls the pin on Monday, you know it's going to be
a long week.
And it certainly has felt like that. Let's start with that shocking house fire up in Jarrow that has a couple of kids fighting for their lives.
Yeah, 3 children have been flown to Perth from Geraldton after being severely burnt in this blaze in the suburb of Mount Tarcoola. A 4th child went to Geraldton Hospital, but they have since been discharged. I just have an update in on those kids, which I'm going to give you. So one of them is in a critical condition in Perth Children's Hospital this morning, and 2 are stable. We understand the mum also flew down with them. There were 3 aircraft, Royal Flying Doctor Service aircraft, that brought these kids down. Obviously, there is a lot more to come as to what's happened and what started this house blaze, but terrible situation to have 3 children so severely burned that they have to come down to Perth for treatment. Yeah. And one fighting for life this morning.
Well, St John sent 5 ambulances to the scene, and then all of those planes involved evacuating them down to Perth. Just absolutely terrifying stuff. Hopefully we'll find out a bit more about what's happened there. And now there's been a car chase through Caronup.
A 31-year-old man has been arrested after this police pursuit in our northern suburbs. It came to an end in Caronup on Caronup Road at Miles Street. It all started just before 1 o'clock this morning. Police say they spotted a stolen MG hatchback in Heathridge. They tried to stop the vehicle. They say the vehicle took off. They chased it. So they have arrested this man and they are questioning him. No word on charges as yet, though.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on that one. And we'll wait and see what Mark McGowan is going to do now after his last day as Premier. He finishes up today with some official WA Day activities. End of an era. How are you feeling about it?
I know. Do you know what? It's unusual, obviously, for a politician to not be like either stabbed in the back or lose an election. So I think it's a positive message to go out while you're on top. And he said, look, I've given it my all. I've got nothing left to give. I think, you know, of course, there's always a little bit of argy-bargy with the leadership fight, but I think that, you know, the Labor Party's come out of it pretty unscathed. You know, Amber Jade Sanderson has licked her wounds and said she'll fall into line under the new Premier Roger Cook. We have Rita Saffiotti there. We saw them on the front page of The West, you know, the New World Order looking it's kind of radiant and fresh. And maybe this is what the government also needed, a bit of a freshen up. And so this has allowed it to happen. So how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, well, still, for me, so many questions about the timing, about how it's all gone down.
Totally. And I'm slightly like sceptical over things.
Yeah, more to learn, I think, about what is really going on behind the scenes. Because, you know,
What's your hunch? What are you thinking?
Well, look.
Can you say?
Yeah, but I guess for me, right? Like it's obviously burnout. If it's a mental health issue, you know, it's very individual, and you can't look at somebody and say, oh, well, that's not burnout. You know what I mean? Because it's specific to that person. And if they feel burnout, then it just is what it is, right? And obviously, that's very very likely to be the case here with Mark McGowan. I look at, you know, like what was on his plate. You talk about COVID. Lots of world leaders dealt with COVID, and WA had it better than most of them. That's
yeah,
the reality.
No, but you just had the argument that burnout's different for
different
people.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, right? So that's the thing.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's what makes it hard to process for me, if you're just looking at the facts. Mm-hmm. And then
what about threats to family?
Yeah, well, that's obviously another thing, right? Like, and so I could see that some of those aspects and, you know, like social media comments, all of that kind of a thing would weigh up on a person after a while, especially, you know, someone like Mark McGowan, who has been focused on his image more than some people. I could see, you know, over time that would start to build up. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. No one really knows, and speculating is probably unhelpful at this point.
Yeah. But look at his wife's face. I think that says a lot.
I've met Sarah McGowan. She's lovely. But at the same time, you know, again, it's hard to project onto other people in those moments. But if if your partner was talking about the end of their political career and were choking up as they were announcing it, would you really be smiling so broadly about it?
She didn't seem upset about it whatsoever.
But yeah.
And she seemed very happy.
But don't you think, though, you would deliberately try and look a little bit more somber about it?
Well, I don't know. This is what I'm saying. I think she was amazingly excited about the prospect of perhaps getting her husband back.
Yeah, well, and I hope that's the case because he certainly has done pretty well for WA.
I think there is more to come. I feel like there's more that we don't know.
And I thought one thing I loved this week, though, in all the wash up of this, is Rita Saffiotti's comments about what she's been up to. So she's found out, you know, about all of this stuff that's going on, this leadership challenge, and what her role might be. She's had to go home, and the first thing her daughter has said as she's walked in the door is, "Oh, Mum, can you check my Italian homework?" And she goes, her phone's blowing up with all these text messages from Labor power brokers, and she's checking the tenses of Italian sentences.
The funny part about that, and I saw that she visited her mum as well, and her mum was like, "How do you feel about your new job?" She's a very genuine person, Rita Saffiotti, and she's one of these people, like, on face value, that's exactly how she, you know, how she is. And I think that's why she connects.
And her mum's got dementia and thinks that she works in a bank. And so Rita said, "I told her that I've been promoted to bank manager," and she seemed pretty happy.
Isn't it deputy bank manager?
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting, though. Like, Rita's got three school-aged children, sporting commitments. She loves the Dockers as well. She's got a mum and a nursing home. She's got a lot on her plate as well, right?
I know we say this, but it somewhat annoys me that we say this because we don't say it about men.
Yeah.
We don't say, "Oh, he's got three kids and weekend sport on his plate." And yet the moment a woman gets into, or a mum gets into that sort of position, "Oh, how's she going to do the job? How could she possibly do the job?"
It's a sort of stereotype that cuts both ways, right? Like, I think it paints women as they're forced to do this primary caregiver role, which often is the case, and it implies that, oh, maybe they'll be giving less to their professional job, which is unfair. It also probably cuts against dads who take that responsibility on in the home.
We're at school pickup all the time. How many you only have to go to a school and see how many dads are at school pickup these days.
Yeah.
It's not like when we were at school and you barely find a dad hanging around. And if there was a dad, it's like, why are you here? Have you got the day off? Like, what's going on? Times have changed. And I feel like we'll know when it's changed because we'll stop saying when women get to these positions, "How's she going to do it? She's got this on her plate." I feel like we've got a little bit of the way to go. But, you know.
Do you know another stereotype? More discrimination in society? Ageism. Ageism is a big deal. People thinking that as you get older, you can't do anything.
Are you talking about Joe Biden falling? No, I feel sorry for him, and it's going to be abused, that vision, during the election.
It's not a good look. The US President Joe Biden has tripped and fallen while handing out diplomas at a graduation ceremony for the US Air Force Academy in Colorado. In his defense, it looks like there was a black sandbag on the stage, which was also black, and so it might not have been that easy to see. And he's been standing up for an hour and a half, has gone to shake hands, and he's kind of tripped on this sandbag, down he's gone. Didn't look great. It had to be helped up, and then he sort of moved back to his seat under his own steam. A bit later on, was seen jogging to his motorcade. So he's fine. The White House said he's no problems there.
We've all had a moment where we've fallen over, haven't we, or tripped?
Yeah, exactly.
That happens. It's the difference is we don't have cameras on us constantly.
You know what Trump said? First he said, "I hope he wasn't hurt," and then he said, "Oh, seeing him fall over, that's not inspiring." It's like he can talk.
Don't you just go with, "Oh, I hope he's okay." Done. Yeah. That's the kind of nice thing to do. Be classy about it, Donald. Come on. Sport.
Frio have a bye week this week, which technically extends their winning streak for another week, or at least maintains their winning streak. Flag
their
mantle,
PR
baby.
Manager, are you?
And then they come back and play Richmond, who I'm pretty sure are not tracking that well.
They're not going great.
You know, so Frio looking good, and we get chance to get a bit healthier. I don't know what's going to happen with the Eagles when it comes to their health, but Dom Sheed is at least one player who we know is going to be playing this weekend against Collingwood, and it's appropriate too. It's his 150th game, so he's going to get life membership of the Eagles, and it comes against the same opponent where he had the great greatest moment of his career, where, of course, 72 games ago, 1,709 days ago, he kicked that incredible final goal in the dying minutes of the 2018 grand final. Remember that?
Yes.
Down in the fourth pocket, he snapped that goal. I know, right? And so since then, back then in that grand final, there were 5 points separating the Eagles and the Pies. Do you know what separates them now?
Yeah.
17 places on the AFL ladder. So very, very different.
How times change.
Yeah, so the top of the table, Collingwood, probably will give the Eagles a tough time.
The other good news for the Dockers, Nat Fyfe signing his new 2-year deal to become a Docker for life.
Yeah.
Unfinished business. Do you reckon if they were to win the premiership this year, he'll stay on? The following year, he'll be like, I'm done. He'll do a McGowan. Yeah, I'm out.
And probably he should, you know. Like, he doesn't have too much left in the tank at this point. But, you know, good on him. Good for the club. He's definitely good for marketing, if nothing else.
Yeah.
The Wild West.
Talking about marketing, we'll do a bit of marketing for WA Day.
Yes,
it's this weekend. This weekend, bigger and better than ever. What can punters look forward to?
So it's on Sunday and Monday. Yep. We should tell people. Lots of things. 80 food trucks, double the amount of rides that we've had in previous years. There's going to be activities, free entertainment, including Perth's Eurovision stars, Voyager, performing. Plus,
drones.
Each of the two nights, yes, the drones. 6:15 p.m., drones and fireworks.
Nice.
So lots of people will be able to enjoy that. The other important thing is the best way to get there is public transport, and it's free. And all the activities are more towards the Optus Stadium end.
Perfect.
So they've moved it up a bit. That should make it easier to get through.
Get the train to Optus Stadium.
Last year, there were just so many people. So this year it's changed a bit because it's been extended, and, so that should help.
And do you know what? It wasn't that long ago that, there was Foundation Day or whatever it was on the same day every year, and then they moved it.
We renamed it.
And we renamed it and we moved it. And at the time, people thought, oh, geez, I don't know about that. But hasn't it just been embraced?
Oh, totally. Because it's a bit difficult to get behind Foundation Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's really, whereas WA Day, it's quite inclusive.
Everybody.
It's for everyone. Yeah. And I think it's got a great vibe about it now. I just wish it was perhaps in summertime or something like that.
Yeah, I know, right?
I feel it's, like how, that's how, our brand.
I know. Yeah. That's the one problem with it. But every time
Don't
it happens,
ask me about what the weather's going to be like for this weekend.
But every time it happens, though, it makes me think about Australia Day, how we should be doing the same thing, right? Just move it. Just move it. We could be.
Yeah. Everybody
move it and
could enjoy.
It. WA Day is an absolute success story. I'd love to see it. We'll be working on the Monday, which is not so fun, but but we can get along to Sunday, see the concert. And that's
Ben loves working here, if anyone upstairs is listening.
Just maybe not so much on the public holidays. And that's your news from the West Australian for Friday, June 2. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, I'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a good one, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.